Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 10, the stanzas 1 and 3. In the fullness of thy grace, to thy house I will repair, bowing toward thy holy place, in thy fear will worship there. And what follows, Psalter 10, the stanzas 1 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 5, the verses 1 through 20. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 5, the first 20 verses. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost the savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. And neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Bazin, who hopes to turn 82 years in this week. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. A most holy, a most righteous, ever faithful, long-suffering, and good-doing God, then thou hast granted unto us and our children a traveling to a never-ending and an all-decisive eternity. Then thou wast given another day, another Lord's day, and then we may repeat what the prophet has exclaimed in the days of old, and our Lord, thou requires it not only with the lips, but thou requires it out of the heart. And then the prophet has declared, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Then thou hast been a faithful God over an unfaithful people. Then thou hast watched over us. Then thou hast surrounded us and our children with thy care, with thy compassion, and with thy protection. Because when thou withdrawest thy hand for a moment, then we cease to exist, and then we are no more, ah, Lord. May it then please thee to grant unto us and our children, and oh, it is true, there are those that are afflicted, but then the prophet was also given to declare that thou afflicteth not willingly the children of men. Lord, may it please thee to then grant a broken and a humble heart. Ah, thou knowest that is not to be found in the natural heart, but that is a gift that comes from above, merited by thy dear Son for his church, and which is granted by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. Ah, to that end, wilt thou come down richly with thy Holy Spirit, and that many hearts, that they may be made soft. And, O Lord, when we consider all thy goodness and all thy mercies over against our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions, and our unthankfulness, and where by nature we are all laying under the sentence of death, ah, should it then not be a wonder that we and our children may have a place in thy house, and that we may see each other in this day. Lord, wilt thou grant a deep and profound impression of those matters, and also the need, because our sins, they need to be pardoned. It is so terrible to be an unreconciled sinner traveling on that broad way to everlasting destruction. And, ah, Lord, thou knowest that if thou doth not intervene by thy free and sovereign grace, by the work of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, then we are forever undone. Then we are forever lost. But, O Lord, thou art gathering thy church, and thou hast appointed the means of grace to that end, and thou hast promised in thy house thy special presence and thy special blessing to that end. We humbly beg of thee that in this hour, that it may please thee, that sinners, that they may be placed within the sheepfold, ah, to be born in Zion as a little lamb. Lord, magnify then thy great and worthy name, because thou hast written in thy holy word that in the multitude of subjects therein lieth the king's honor. Lord, do then a great work in the latter days of the earth amongst us and our children. Wilt thou spare us that we build not upon sandy foundations, because it is recorded in thy holy word that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, and who shall know it? Ah, Lord, thou knowest who are thine. Wilt thou grant them a blessing in this morning hour? Thou knowest what each stands in need of. Wilt thou then supply according to their needs? And thou knowest how they have come up to thy house. Thou knowest their particular request. Ah, may there be such that have come up to thy house with a very specific request. Ah, that they may receive a token of thy favor, that they may be given to hear thy voice, that they may be given to believe, that they may be given to rejoice O my joy unspeakable, O Lord, we commend thy church all over the earth unto thee. Ah, thou granteth the blessing that we may still meet in freedom with the persecuted church. It is so different. And then we also lay before thee the needs of the country at war. Ah, do remember and do help them. May the prayers be multiplied, and may thy church be given to experience in special ways that thou art the King of the church, who reigneth, who has everything in thy hand, and that the will of, without the will of the Heavenly Father, and not a hair can fall from our head. Wilt thou remember all those whom are called to labor in thy vineyard? Wilt thou remember thy servants? We commend the widow of thy servant who has labored amongst this people for many years, when in this week, as she hopes to remember, that thou was added an other year unto her years, Lord, remember her in her widowhood. Grant her a place at thy footstool, and by thy free and sovereign grace, the necessity that thou may be her husband. Remember all the widows of thy servants. Wilt thou remember elders and deacons? Wilt thou remember the student? And then we may acknowledge thee, wherein the day of yesterday, that the borders have been further opened, Lord, we may humbly ask of thee that they may yet be further opened also for the welfare and for the unity of our denomination concerning all the gatherings, concerning all the committees, classes, and senate. May it all prosper in thy hand. We commend unto thee all the temporal needs. Wilt thou continue to supply our daily bread? Thou knowest the families that are laboring under many cares in that respect. May they be given to experience that the God of Elijah still lives. We remember all the mourning ones, our Lord. The hand that is taken away, may the same hand, may thou uphold them. Remember the family who was waiting for official confirmation that a funeral may take place. Wilt thou uphold them in the time of waiting, and at this time, that it may be sanctified by the work of thy Holy Spirit, that sinners may be born in Zion. Remember our elderly ones. Remember all under the physician's care, then by renewal in this week. Then we may acknowledge thee, that there are none in the hospital. But, Lord, thou knowest there are those that are struggling with pain, with weariness, with tiredness, with sickness, with afflictions, with many cares and with many worries. We commend them all unto thee, with all their relatives among young and old, with all the different afflictions. Ah, Lord, may all the trials and afflictions, may they be used, and may they be sanctified. Ah, we humbly ask thee that there may be many in another hospital, that is that spiritual hospital. Oh, may it please thee in this day that by the enlightening and the uncovering work of thy Holy Spirit, that there may be such brought, and that the need, oh, those that have been brought in that hospital, may they be given to learn more and more impossible from their side to be saved, but oh, to be brought to a saving knowledge of the heavenly physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to save the sick, the lost, and afflicted. O Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may grant thy gracious help, and may it please thee by thy Spirit to set our heart and our tongue on fire concerning the precious things of the Lord. How wilt thou grant that there may be milk for the little ones, stronger meat for whom have been led further, and a heart full of love for the unconverted. Ah, Lord, thou wast never promised to work in the world and in places of wickedness, but thou wast promised thy special presence, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. May that be experienced. Oh, do grant those special tokens of thy favor. And, oh, Lord, with a confession undeserved, unworthy, but may it please thee to hear and to receive these few words of thanksgiving and petition, and that alone for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 31, the stanzas 1 through 4. O Lord, hear the right, regard my cry, my prayer from lips sincere. Ascend thy approval from on high, my righteousness make clear, and what follows. Psalter 31, the first four stanzas. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, what you can find in Psalm 23, the third verse, the second part. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Our text words speak of the shepherd leading the sheep in the paths of righteousness. With three thoughts in the first place, a justifying righteousness. Secondly, sanctifying righteousness. And thirdly, glorifying righteousness. The shepherd leading the sheep in the paths of righteousness. Justifying righteousness, sanctifying righteousness, and glorifying righteousness. Thus first, justifying righteousness. Beloved congregation, we have already heard wonderful things from the mouth of the psalmist, where David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, has spoken of the shepherd through the eyes of the sheep, and that by true saving faith, by the immediate working of the Holy Spirit, because the true sheep and the little lambs, they learn how dependent they are upon the immediate influence of the Holy Spirit. And then David was given to say, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And then at the beginning of verse 3, then we have read those words, he restoreth my soul. Then the third verse, that is a verse of separation. Concerning the first two verses in an outward way, when we think of the children of Israel, then in God's word, then the Lord is called the shepherd of Israel, that has led his people like a flock, brought them out of the land of Egypt, and concerning that external administration of the covenant, a great blessing and a great privilege. Then Paul has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10, that they should not be ignorant, that they were not all Israel. They had all passed through the sea. They were baptized in the cloud and by Moses. They have all eaten of that spiritual meat and drank of that spiritual drink. And that rock was Christ. But then in the fifth verse, then the apostle has written, that with many of them the Lord were not well pleased. And to that end, verse 3, he restoreth my soul. Then for an historical faith and for a temporal faith, that is not so needful. But for the true sheep of the good shepherd, then how needful each time by renewal, because they learn what is silly and what is stubborn and what a wandering sheep they are each time by renewal, and not to make the mistake, because in all of our lives there shall be ups and downs, times encouraged, discouraged, the one more liable to those things. We are all created differently, but it shall be experienced by all of us. And to that end, in our text words, then there is a further separation and also words for examination, because in our text words, the former two verses, then many examples out of the life of a flock, of a sheep, that we can speak about the true sheep of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. But now in our text words, then it is clear that it speaks specifically of the sheep of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in our text words, we read that word righteousness, and the meaning of that word in the Hebrew, a legal righteousness and a moral righteousness. And that cannot apply to the sheep, because our children can understand that a sheep can never experience that godly sorrow over sin. They know not what sin is, to make it clear yet. Think of a shepherd with a flock, and of such a shepherd on a certain day, that he would write the Ten Commandments on a piece of plywood and post it on the barn or on the fence. Then the sheep would see there would be something new. But then our children can understand that they could not read that law. Or if a shepherd on a certain morning would call his sheep, and that they would come unto him, and that he would open the Bible and read the Ten Commandments, then it would not mean anything. Of course, they would hear the voice of the shepherd, that voice which they recognize, but then that law would not mean anything unto them. Then maybe one says, or more, then I resemble a sheep, an animal. And this morning, when the law was read, I have not really listened, not made any impression. None of the commandments that have pierced my heart. And now our text that speaks of righteousness told you before, boys and girls, that a sheep, they have not a soul as we do that needs to be saved by free and sovereign grace. And now we read, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And that is added to the first part of the text. He restoreth my soul. And that restoration, how shall that now go? In Jeremiah 3, then we read of a backsliding people. And then I read in verse 13, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou wast sinned against the Lord thy God. When such a soul is restored, then by the work of the Holy Spirit, there shall be a confession, there shall be a repenting, a hating and fleeing of sin by renewal, and coming to the shepherd, following the shepherd, and a desire that the shepherd may be praised in us and by us for his wonderful works. But now it is necessary for such a sheep that our text may be fulfilled. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Then such a sheep, such a soul, by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, and that separates the true, because in the true work of the Lord, then it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make room in the heart for the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, in their hearts. We read thereof in John 16, verse 14, He will receive of mine, He will show it unto thee, He shall glorify me, and He shall show it unto you. And now concerning that leading in the paths of righteousness, then it is the work of the Holy Spirit to show unto the sheep in the beginning, but also in the furtherance, that righteousness declared in our text. And now we have heard out of Matthew 6 concerning our first point, justifying righteousness. Then in the Beatitudes, we have heard of a people that are blessed. And then have you examined your hearts, young and old, concerning those texts? Can we now lay our hearts beside it and say before an all-knowing God, Lord, that is now my life. Oh, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek, and blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because when the Lord works concerning that righteousness, in the first place before the attributes of the Lord and all His attributes, His justice and His goodness, all the righteousness before the holy law of God. And then the Spirit teaches them that they are very guilty. Oh, before an accusing conscience. And now the Spirit teaches His people that without righteousness, we have heard it from verse 20, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then Jesus was not speaking of those Pharisees that say and do not. But then He was speaking of those Pharisees like a soul, very sincere, an impression of the holiness of the Lord. But now it is the work of the Spirit, and that our text speaketh of. He leadeth us in the paths of righteousness. And now how does the Lord now lead His people? Oh, then they are given to hunger. Then they are given to thirst after righteousness. As we read in verse 6 of Matthew 5, because the church learneth that without a righteousness they cannot appear before the Lord, that the Lord is so just that He cannot behold evil, and one sin makes us worthy of eternal condemnation. And now on account of that love that the Spirit sheds in the heart in the moment of regeneration, then they are given to experience that breach, and that breach that is so bitter, worse than death, because the Lord has a people upon the earth that can miss much, but that they cannot miss the Lord. And to that end, then they are given to seek after righteousness, and then the Spirit leadeth, then the Spirit instructs them. Oh, that seeking people, then the efforts they put forth, then with their tears, and there is a people upon the earth, oh, a sheep, that is given to shed many tears. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. Oh, then they become so busy concerning that righteousness. Oh, many vows are made. There is a reformation. There is a repentance. They are often found at the throne of grace. But oh, the Spirit teaches them, except your righteousness exceedeth the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh, then such souls, then they are given to experience that they are so unworthy. Oh, with the hope, because in the moment of regeneration, then the Lord plants also that grace of hope in the heart, a hope in the mercy of the Lord, that there may come a solution. And what a blessed place it is, those seeking souls that are seeking after righteousness, when they may come in a low place. There are times that they cannot bow low enough with a vehement desire that the Lord may be glorified. But now he leadeth me, then they are instructed that also on account of their unworthiness, the Lord cannot pardon their sins, because the justice of God requires, O Lord, stay number 5. Then the instructor has asked the student, one that is on the school of King Jesus, since the Lord must punish our sins temporally and eternally, is there then not a way that we may escape that punishment and be restored into favor? That is the life of those sheep that are seeking after righteousness. Lord, remember me with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. And then the instructor has answered, God will have his justice satisfied, and the satisfaction must be made by us or by another. Those seeking souls, are there such souls in my midst that are seeking so diligently, not without hope, because when the Lord comes over, when that people may hear that way declared, those leadings, then they may be given to rejoice. But now it is the work of the Spirit to make room for that precious Savior in their hearts. And now further, because I read in Isaiah 64 verse 6, that we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousnesses, they are as filthy rags. Thus the prophet does not say our unrighteousness, that the church learns in beginning and continually, but now even our righteousness, our religious duties, they are all polluted in the sight of a holy and a just God. But the psalmist has declared, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And that leading, then the Spirit teaches them that they have no righteousnesses of them their own. To learn not only that they do sin, but that they are nothing but a lump of sin on account of their original sins. And we read concerning that leading in Jeremiah 48 verse 11. Moab has been at ease from his youth, and he has settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, and neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remained in him, and his scent is not changed. Thus the necessity concerning that leading, that it becomes impossible from our side. That we become the lost sinner, ascribing justice unto a holy and good-doing God, and yet asking whether there is a way, whether there is a righteousness for such a sinner as I am. Do we not read in Matthew 9, verse 12, that they that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick? Has Christ not declared in Luke 19, verse 10, that the Son of Man hath come to seek and to save those that are lost? And now the psalmist is given to testify, to exclaim, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And now that path of righteousness, And that is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. Oh, he is merited a salvation. We read in Isaiah 53 verse 6 that the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. Oh, he has become the unrighteous one, not because of his original sin, not because of his actual sin, but because the Father has laid the iniquities of all his sheep upon him. Oh, the willing Savior that has come upon the earth, that who is willing to suffer and to die, that is what the psalmist is given to speak of. Thus it is clear that the words of our text, that they refer specifically to the church, because it cannot be applied to a natural sheep. Oh, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. The prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 23 verse 6, there the blessed Son of God is called the Lord our righteousness. Oh, the psalmist in our text words, David, in the Old Testament, then by an eye of faith to given to speak of the path of righteousness, then he is given to speak of whom the psalmist has declared in Psalm 45 verse 2, that he is fairer than the children of men, and grace is poured out upon his lips. Oh, the bride has declared that he is white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. Oh, then the psalmist is given to declare for the church that righteousness in another, where he becomes so precious for a poor and a needy people, a people that have no righteousness of their own. Oh, then he becomes precious in his person. Then he becomes precious in his names. He becomes precious in his work. He becomes preciousness in his willingness and his love. Oh, then in our text there may be declared a righteousness for an unrighteous people. And now we read in our text that it speaks of pass in the plural. Oh, the further leadings in the life of his people to receive that assurance, the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. Our second thought, sanctifying righteousness. Let us first sing. Psalter 191, the stanzas 1, 5, and 6. Through troubles great overshadow me. Thou art my refuge strong. My mouth shall praise thee all the day. Thy honor be my song. The extra collection today is for the school. Psalter 191, the stanzas 1, 5, and 6. The shepherd leading the sheep in the paths of righteousness. Justifying righteousness. And now secondly, sanctifying righteousness. We read thereof in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. The first four Beatitudes, of course, we must always remember that justification, that means to be acquitted from guilt, that can never be separated from sanctification, that is to be holy. But then in the first four verses, then it speaks concerning the exercise, concerning justification, and then the last four Beatitudes, they speak of more of sanctification, because we read, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. The psalmist has prayed in Psalm 17, verse 5, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. And we read our text words after the first four words, he restoreth my soul. Then those true sheep learn that they continue to be a foolish, a silly, and a wandering sheep. And after that restoration, to be led in the ways of righteousness concerning the pardoning of sin and to receive that true saving faith to embrace the same. But now the sheep is given to need, that the shepherd keeps a close eye on such a sheep. And to that end, oh, the faithfulness of the shepherd. And we read in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord. And to that end, the necessity for the sheep, that the shepherd leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And the psalmist has declared in Psalm 119, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy statutes. And the sheep has confessed in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And now concerning that leading in the paths of righteousness that is in the way of holiness, because I read in Hebrews 12, verse 14, holiness without no man can see the Lord. Thus then we need to make a separation, justification that concerns the guilt of sin, and sanctification, the pollution of sin, justification that concerns the state, and sanctification concerns the condition. And now when the psalmist and solemn in our text says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, how does that now take place, Church of God? Then in the first place, then in the way of instruction, by the way of the appointed means which the King of the Church has given to the sheep, that they may be given to diligently search and study to pray over the same, to have that close, that tender life with the Lord. Then in the second place, then many a times he leadeth them in the way of righteousness, in the way of chastisement. Oh, not pleasant for the flesh, as I read in Hebrews 11, verse 12. And nevertheless, afterwards, the peaceable fruits of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Then in the way of chastisement, then the sheep are given to learn lessons which cannot be learned elsewhere. And then what a privilege, what a blessing it is when the chastisement, when it may be profitable, that it may work for good to those that love God and called according to his purpose. Then in the third place, then many a times, then the shepherd, because in our text, that word pass, that can also mean in the original, an entrenchment, a trench. That is a pathway with a hedge on either side. And so I read in Hosea 2 verse 6, therefore behold, I will hedge up thy ways with thorns and make her a wall that she cannot find her paths. We read of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 that there was a thorn in his flesh. Oh, those hedges, not always so easy, and they can be of so many different kinds, but it is the love of the shepherd that he places those hedges round about them and beside their path, that they may not go astray and that they may follow the shepherd, that it may be true, that he may lead them and that they may be given to follow them. Then in the fourth place, then also the shepherd he leads in the paths of righteousness by the way of example, because we read in 1 Peter 2 verse 21, for even hereto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Thus the sheep, they are called to follow in the footsteps of the shepherd wherever he leadeth them. And many a times it can be in a drier climate that when the shepherd leadeth from one pasture to another pasture, that there are dry places, desert land in between, but to simply follow the shepherd. I have read of two shepherds, two brothers, that in the fall, that they were given to lead their sheep home from the mountain ranges, and they were overcome by a snowstorm, a simple instruction that the children can understand it. The oldest brother was a small man, and the younger brother a big man. And the older brother felt that the responsibility to lead. But then the younger brother behind saw that he was becoming faint. And then he says, brother, let me go ahead. And now that smaller brother, he walked, as it were, in the shadow of the older brother, that the older brother has caught most of the wind. And then he looked closely because the snow was accumulating quickly. Then the smaller brother simply put his feet in the footsteps of the older brother. And then it became so easy. What a simple instruction. For silly, for foolish, and for proud sheep, he leadeth me in the ways of righteousness. And to understand it, Then our second text speaks not of work holiness, but evangelic holiness. And both benefits merited by Christ, which he works by his Spirit in the hearts of the true sheep. Our third thought, glorifying righteousness. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. 'Tis the shepherd's honor when the flock may willingly follow the shepherd. And we have also heard from the first verses that when the sheep may be given to feed, when they may lie down beside still waters, special things are necessary, that it is the honor for the shepherd. And now he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that is concerning our first 2 points. Also concerning justifying righteousness. Because for those souls that are so troubled concerning their sins, burdened with their debts, they may be given to experience the blessedness of the service of the shepherd, none compared to it. They have made that good choice. They have left Moab. They have cast in their lot with the people of God, even if they would be persecuted, as long as they may belong to that people. And they are given to tell the Lord their love, their desire, but also the burden of their sin. But because of the many riddles and the many perplexities, oftentimes they can be so silent. But now when that church may be led in the paths of righteousness concerning the dear Son of God, and when they may receive a certain assurance, and their lips may be opened, because it is the desire that the shepherd may be honored and glorified. Oh, that all people may come in the sheepfold of the great shepherd when they are given that liberty, and they may be given to speak of the dear Son of God. Oh, how precious he has become, that a way has been opened, that for an unrighteous one, that he may become righteous through the perfect meritorial work of Jesus Christ. Oh, then surely, then his name shall be glorified. But it also concerns our second point, a sanctifying righteousness, because we have heard from the beginning of the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, ye are the light of the world, ye are the salt of the earth. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Thus for his name's sake, we read in Psalm 25, verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is very great. In Psalm 71, in verse 16, then the psalmist is declared, given to speak of thy righteousness, and thy righteousness only. In the Song of Solomon 1, verse 3, then his name is as ointment poured forth. Thus the shepherd, he leadeth his sheep in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, to make himself a name, that his name may be glorified. But in our text words, we also read of a pleading ground. that the church concerning those last three words given to plead that they are given to declare, Lord, it is thy sheepfold, it is thy honor and thy glory, and therefore wilt thou lead me, wilt thou guide me, wilt thou keep thee. We have special examples in the scriptures for thy name's sake. One in Exodus 32, when Israel has made a golden calf in the way of religion, and that the Lord said unto Moses that his angel would no more go before him. Then Moses has come in the need, and then our text words, they have become a pleading ground for Moses. Then Moses was given to declare, Lord, is thy people, thy chosen people, thou hast done such wonders, thou hast led them out of Egypt, and if thou now lettest thy people perish in the wilderness, what wilt thou do with thy great name? Was the same in the life of Joshua. One day have went to battle the second city in the promised land, Ai, and 36 were slain, that a Joshua has come in the need, and he was given to have the pleading ground, Lord, it is thy honor and thy glory for thy name's sake, because if the good shepherd, one sheep that has been given unto him from the Father as a reward upon his meritorial work, a sheep for which he has shed his precious blood, and if now one sheep can never be, we read in John 10 verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. But if now one of those chosen sheep would perish, then how the devil and how hell would rejoice that they would lay it before the Lord that one of those sheep has perished. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And how is it now, congregation, with the last part of Psalm 23, verse 3, that clearly declares the marks of the true sheep, words that can only apply to the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Oh, then David is given to boast and given to extol his shepherd, also to arouse to a holy jealousy that the goats may be filled with jealousy. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, then our psalm is declaring that there is room in the sheepfold. And what precious invitations in the scriptures. And how is it now when we read in our text, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. How is it with our sin? Is it still our delight? Or has it truly become our burden? Have we learned, experienced what we have heard from the Beatitude has then become exceeding better. Christ, the Good Shepherd, he has come upon the earth to save sinners. But have you now become a sinner? That is the crucial question. Have we become concerned with that word righteousness? Have we become exercised with his attributes, his justice, his holiness, his goodness, that we have sinned so much and so grievously against such a God? Have we attempted to satisfy that righteousness? Because these lessons, congregation, they cannot be learned out of a book, out of the Bible, with our mind. Necessary that we search the Scriptures. That is the command of the Lord, to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. And to that end, may the prayers be multiplied, that we may be led, that we may become a willing people with a heart that needs and that seeks after the Lord, and that room may be made in the hearts for that Good Shepherd who has shed his precious blood, that sinners may be saved. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. O people of God, what precious things that the psalmist was given to speak of, and then all for his name's sake. What a privilege and what a blessing when the lambs, when the sheep, and that is a mark of grace, the first petition, hallowed be thy name, are to become exercised with the glory of a triune God, to be given to walk that close life, that tender, that dependent life, needing the Good Shepherd in his threefold office, prophet, priest, and king. The prophet has declared concerning the true sheep in Isaiah 43, verse 21, this people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, may it please thee to lead us and our children in the paths of righteousness, and that for thy name's sake. Ah, do remember the unconverted. Begin that good work in this day. May they be given to bow their knees and tell thee honestly how it is when there is no desire for righteousness, but when our heart goes out to the things of sense and of vanity, where sin has never become a burden, and then how necessary for thy true sheep to turn our text into petition, Lord. Lead me day by day in the paths of righteousness. Grant the exercise of true saving faith. Wilt thou strengthen that faith? Lead me in justifying righteousness, sanctifying righteousness, and glorifying righteousness. Lord, remember us in this day. Bless and remember the family circles. Wilt thou grant a profitable day? May thy word be read, sung, prayers. Lord, thou wast promised that the means of grace, that they shall not return void unto thee. Wilt thou grant traveling mercies, bring us together in this evening hour, and pardon us of all of our sins, Lord. Teach us to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 425, the stanzas 1 and 2. Unto the Lord lift thankful voices. Come worship while your soul rejoices. Make known his doings far and near, that peoples all his name may fear. And what follows? The consistory wishes to remind the parents of the meeting at the school Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 425, the stanzas 1 and 2. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.